Yeah, this is God's privilege for all of us to be here together and to know that He designed it to be this way and to know that He has shown us this way at this time, the strategic moment in history, the strategic moment in our personal lives. We have truly accepted His plan and are walking in what He is showing us daily. And I thank the Lord for that, that His Word is alive and His Spirit is continually revealing things to us that are not just good to know, but are essential to know so that we move forward in His kingdom according to what He's planning on doing. And to do this, learning is about mastering skills. Skills will allow us to function as vital agents for the kingdom. We are ambassadors. We are agents. We are those who have been entrusted with a great treasure. Even though we see ourselves as jars of clay, we are the containers. It was mentioned this morning about how the victory comes even though we are fragile. And it's because God is in us. God is with us. He's the one that gives the victory. And that was illustrated over and over and over throughout the history of Israel and throughout our modern day times. We don't have to go all the way back to there to see God's hand upon those who will entrust their future to His purpose. And we stand in that trust right now because we have said yes to the Lord, and we are going to go forward in the fullness of our identity. And so we are seeking the skills that God wants us to have. And when we think about learning skills, some skills are gained on the job training. And I remember well my times as an electrician assistant, and I learned lots of things. Some of them had to do with electricity, but it was a great experience. And others gain skills from informational education, where there is the ins and outs that are shared through books and through notes that are taken from lectures. But many times it's a combination of education and on-the-job training to bring an application of what has been studied. And that's probably one of the better ways that we actually gain skills, is to go into our field of interest and see how what we have learned is applied and see the things that are essential and the things that are not so essential or that really functioned well in time past, but in today's world, they don't have a great effect. And so there is an adjustment always in our understanding of gaining what God has given to us in the Spirit as well. I mean, we have had skills in the past, and it has served the kingdom. We have dedicated what we've done to the kingdom. But as we progress in our relationship with the Father, He shows us new things. And he gives us opportunity to develop our skills, and He shows us how these things fit together. And as we go out on His behalf, we are seeing the effect of the things that we have learned, and we are able to make application in wisdom and understanding. And we certainly have developed a mastery of things that we had no knowledge of before. And this is an amazing gift of God. And I just love how God is always bringing us forward and gaining the mastery of spiritual responsibilities is greater than anything we could possibly do in the natural. And so we cherish what God gives us. We cherish the disciplines. We cherish the chastisements. We cherish the testings that he puts us in so that we can actually see the application, so we can see the results. Because God is looking for us to be diligent in our going forth in our assignments. He gives us these things, and he wants us to pour ourselves into what he has given us so that there will be success. I love the illustration of an airplane going down the runway for takeoff. That plane has to go like they're going to fly. If there's a timidity, if there's a hesitancy, then that airplane will never get to the speed where it can lift off at the end of the runway. And the result will be catastrophic. So when your plane goes to the end of the runway and turns around, you feel the pressure of that plane going full force down the runway with the confidence that when it gets to the end of the runway or before it gets there, it's going to be in the air. That has to be. It's an all or nothing situation. And certainly spiritually, that's where we are. We say, it's all or nothing, Lord. I'm going full force. I'm going in the understanding that you're going to be there and you're going to bring success. I'm not, and we have come to a point where we're not testing the waters anymore. We are diving in. We are saying, I'm going for it. And so it is this commitment, this active participation with what he has given us that is going to bring us success. And it's going to require everything we are. Now, Peter talked about this in his second book. We're going to look at this in our scriptures on our sheets there. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about this all or nothing. It is talking about this investment. It's talking about being diligent and really being there to go forward with that promise of success. And so there is no hesitancy on our part. So in the 11th verse in the third chapter of 2 Peter, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, he's talking about the world and all that you can gain from it, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, we can look at this in a literal way, and there's been lots of predictions by, quote, scientists who are saying, yeah, there's a meteor coming, and it's going to crash, and we're all going to burn. Okay, if that's the way God chooses to do that, I'm fine. I'm not afraid. I am looking forward to what God's going to do. But if this is a concept of the Spirit, the judgment and burning of God, and bringing about righteousness, which creates this newness, this fresh relationship with the Father that supersedes everything else, that is great. And I look forward to how that is happening as we go forward. So now we've studied this verse several weeks ago and focused on the strength needed to prepare ourselves to endure God's long suffering and not be led away by error or things that were wicked. But in this second letter, he's talking to the beloved, which are the saints, and he is urging them that since they are not focusing on the things of the world and knowing that these things are temporary, that they would delight, that they would look for such things and be diligent. to really be investing in what is about to happen. And this word diligent is the word spudazo. And this word speaks of exerting yourself in earnest in whatever effort is required to accomplish the task or goal before you can gain mastery over something. There has to be a commitment. There has to be a dedication. There has to be a full-on investment of who we are so that there is a mastery, so that there is an understanding, so that there is a life change in us that will take everything from that point on in a new way. In this case, it is to be found of God in joining what he has wanted to do with complete success, promised. And so this word spodazo comes from the word spude. I love these words. They just roll off the tongue there. Which implies being dispatched in a way which is to be sent out in an eagerness to fulfill something that has been promised. And it is to be that movement that is determined by the point of promise. God is not slack concerning his promises. When he says something and he said, I will be with you, then we are free. We are set free to move in a powerful way. This puts a whole new light on that concept of being free to be free indeed. When we are set free, it's not to be so much, okay, I'm rid of the chains of sin and degradation. You know, I'm no longer held accountable for those things. I'm now bound for heaven. It is free to move in a powerful way to establish a stronghold for the Lord and to overcome what has been out there by the enemy to stop us. And so this word, spudazo, coming from spude, is an urgency for us to stay focused, to stay invested, to move as it's directed, and not hold back or hesitate like, well, maybe it'll work, or to think, well, this doesn't look like the direction that will bring success, but to know that this is the direction that God has ordained, and it will bring success. It will bring peace. So when we look at what God gives us, the enemy is going to try to get us to focus on, well, how can you do this with the least amount of energy? You know, that saying is, that was posted in some places where I've worked, says work smart, not hard. Look for ways to get to where you need to be without that much effort. We know sometimes there has to be effort in order to get someplace. There has to be an expansion of all that we are, and you can't take a shortcut. You can't do less. You have to do absolutely everything that you know how to do, that you have been schooled to do, that you have received from the Father, that you are now mastering because of your experience and because of seeing the application. And so you come to the point where you are being sent forth with confidence that what you have been given will succeed and that what you need will be there when you arrive. You know, the longer we delay in moving in what God has given us to do, the more time we have to think, the more time we have to wonder, the more time we have to try to adjust our angle so it's not so painful, so we don't have to give up so much, so that we can have a little more for ourselves. And the longer we delay, the more the enemy is going to be introducing alternatives. And so what we end up doing is what we call second guessing ourselves. We start, you know, we'll start mulling over the choice that we have. We say, well, you know, is that really what the Lord really wants? It doesn't seem like it's going to have a good effect or that much of effect. Who will know if I don't show up? Who will know if that never happens? You know, is this really necessary? You know, probably this might be an occasion where we face more and more when it's our time to be in intercession. You know, if who will know if I don't? You know, or if I don't have time at this point, I'll can fit it in at another time. You know, or something else has come up and I just postpone it for a while because it's not convenient. You know, we have to be committed to our times of intercession to a point where nothing will deter us. Where the thinking, the second guessing about are we really doing something worthwhile there is overcome. And we are saying, I have to be here in this time, in this place, mastering the things that God has given me to do. So the enemy is real good at remembering our past and bringing up opportunities to avoid any discomfort. You know, he'll remind us, you don't want to go through that again. No, that wasn't very nice, and you just stay clear. Or he will try to get you to go beyond your assignment. Go beyond what God has called you to do. And both not enough or too much are things that undermine the purpose of God. And we have to be masterful at making exact understandings in our heart so that we move as God moves. You know, the heart is the steering wheel of our life. And when our heart is got the treasure of the Father, we move according to that treasure. We move according to His purpose, and we're not influenced off or de-influenced away. Is that a word, de-influenced? You can use it. Fine. So we have to, you know, just think about Achan at the Battle of Jericho. The orders were, don't take anything from the spoils. And what he did costs lives. Or the man who when they first got into the wilderness, you know, God said, okay, the Sabbath day is supposed to be rest. You're not supposed to gather anything, any wood, not supposed to do anything. And he decided he was going to go out and collect wood, get a jump on everybody else. He probably had a little booth on the side. He was going to sell firewood. And he said, well, everybody's not doing it. I just go out and get some more wood, and that'll supply me. And then when everybody's rushing around trying to find wood out here in the wilderness where there's not many trees, I'll have it and I can sell it. Guess what happened to him? You remember? They stoned him. He was killed for that. He was working to supply. He was working above what God had called to do because there was a thought in his mind that if I do this, I can get ahead. So these kinds of things are what the scripture and what Peter here is calling spots. Now, spots are basically a disruption or a breakdown of our strength and stability. It's kind of in a reference to rocks that protrude out of a river. And if you're floating down a river and one of these rocks, that'd be a spot. And it will either wreck your boat or cause you to veer off to one side or stop your progression altogether. So these spots, they're supposed to be, they are the things that will divert us off our track. And they will disrupt and break down our strength and stability. And it's really the enemy's attempt to always hinder our forward progression. So this diligence This investment, which we move into, is our place, is where we have been ordained to be. It is the place of our mission, and it is critical to keep our mission spot-free and blameless. And so we are to be without hesitation and blameless. The word blameless is speaking about a flaw that is disgraceful. It is something that functions against the promotion of the Lord. And so to be blameless is to be earnestly overcoming anything that would take us off course or that would undermine what God's trying to do. So we have to know God's heart. We have to know what He's trying to do. We have to have a relationship with Him. And so we need to be careful not to put ourselves in positions that will go against what God's doing, like the rebellion of Korah, which is mentioned in the New Testament. And really, basically, Korah was with Moses in the wilderness, and he wanted to be a priest. He wanted to burn incense. He wanted to have that same authority. And that's where Moses said, okay, you know, if Korah's right, and I'm taking too much authority on myself, let him, watch him live. But if it's not, he's going to die in an unnatural way. Well, the earth opened up, swallowed his whole family and all of his cattle and his kids and everything. And then lightning or fire came down from heaven and lit up everybody else that was with him. And then there was this plague. Anyway, it was a big judgment thing that came upon the people because they tried to do something more than what God had called for. They were trying to take on something that was not meant for them to be. And so it's important that we understand who we are meant to be, what God has commissioned us to do. We may see things going on and in our society that are reprehensible, and we may see that it's our job to stand and to try to bring justice, but we need to be careful that what we do according to the need is what God's called us to do. So we need to be exerting ourselves in earnest for what God has called us to do. We need to be there at His command. We need to be ready because it is essential for us that we have a master of what God has already given us so that we can move forward in the next thing that He's providing. So we see this word, spadazo, used by Paul to describe the way he was looking to make the poor part of his ministry to the Gentiles. So in Galatians 2, 7 through 10, he says, but counterwise, this is when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. And that forward is our word, bodadzo. Interesting. But this right hand of fellowship, you know, it's not about shaking hands and say, okay, we're together on this. It's about functioning together in the promise. It is about this unity of we're together on this. We are functioning together in what God's getting ready to do. We are functioning together to function, to work in the Sela for the fulfillment. And so Paul is assuring the church leaders that his intention was not to hold back from supporting his Jewish countrymen. He was not bringing on separation. He was not saying, okay, I'm pushing you away and I'm going to just focus on the Gentiles. He was saying, I am going to be cognizant of how we are to function together as one. The Gentiles and the Jews are to be one in spirit, one in purpose, one Lord, one mission. And so his mission was to bring unity to the ecclesia so there would not be a hesitation in receiving anyone into this fellowship. In fact, he would continually be integrating his ministry with both groups of people. So our ministries are not bound by the way people look, talk, or the way they come from. When we go forth into the nations, we are finding a unity that is beyond our expectations. There is a brotherhood. There is a family relationship that is established immediately. And it's because there is an understanding of God's purpose. There is an understanding of his desire for us to be intercessors and to carry out his purpose in partnership with him. And so we become partners with one another. And we share the same spiritual meat. We share the same spiritual drink. And there's a unity there. And we are responsible to teach and invest in the ministry of the saints. And we stay in this commissioning steps ahead of the enemy. And this is awesome. We come and we are following the will of God without spot and without blame. We don't have any, we're not looking at what the enemy is putting up in front of us and thinking, well, maybe that's the way we're supposed to go. We're not looking to divert our attention anywhere else. And we are ignoring disruptions and we are not making mistakes in our judgments because we are unified in the Spirit and there is a guidance that is from the Spirit to help us discern and to understand the purpose that God is doing in this moment, in this time. So Paul was pacing his work according to the speed of the Spirit, according to the direction of the Spirit, according to the timing of the Spirit, according to what God wanted done at that moment. And he was investing everything he was. He had a reputation. He had status. He had responsibilities. He had the approval of the hierarchy. And he was very successful in his what he was doing. And he invested everything that he was, all that mastering of going hard after God into going hard after Jesus, going hard after the things that God had prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And so Paul again uses this word spedazo, and he adds it to his list of qualities that are necessary to achieve this unity in the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we're looking at Ephesians 4, 2 through 6. with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You get the understanding that this is about unity. This is about a oneness. This is about this endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit. And this endeavoring is our word, spedazzo. And this unity or oneness is not just going to happen. That has to be something that we take on and we pursue. It requires that we build on these qualities that he has listed here. You know, lowliness speaks of humility in the way we think. And this is where we think more highly of others rather than ourselves. And we tend to their spiritual walk. We look for ways to encourage them. We look for ways to speak into them. And mostly, we need to also be ready to receive. You know, in other places, you know, Paul talks about when you speak to a brother, and if he listens to you, then he becomes a brother. But if he doesn't, then you know you just have to let him go. So we have to be those who will listen to each other and encourage that word that comes from the Lord from them. So it is a unity that has to come from both directions. It's a unity that is not just dependent on the one giving the word, but it has to do also with the one receiving. So there is this humbleness in the way of thinking. And so also then there is meekness, and we know that that's not weakness, but it's about submitting our strengths to the overall dominion of God. It's learning the ways of God. It is mastering his ways, and that's what we were talking about, as well as the way he is going to call us to make that application. That's wisdom. And to know his time, when that's supposed to happen. Long-suffering is about being patient and willing to extend yourself, to partner with the hand of God, no matter how long it takes. No matter how long it takes. You know, Jesus told the disciples, you know, there were prophets who longed to see what you are seeing, and they never did see it. They had to have this long suffering, even though they didn't see it in their lifetime. They were faithful to the end, as long as it would take. And so then there is forbearing with one another in agape, which is enduring the work of holding up each other in our devotion to the throne so that we are ready to move, both of us, all of us, in this spodazzo, this investment in the next thing that God is preparing us to do and to be. So the elements of the spodazzo are critical to establishing the unity of the saints. It is in the bond of the saints. And this bond speaks of a ligament that enables muscle to bring mobility to the structure of the body. This bond is what keeps the body vital. It also, you know, it has to do with keeping the organs in place in the natural. And so when you think about the bond of the body of Christ, you're thinking about those things that cause the body to function as one and to move in a fullness of its power and authority. So this bond of peace keeps us as the body of Christ, keeps us as the called out ones, the ecclesia. And in this, we are able to function in the Spirit. And so, each one of us is connected to all the rest of us in this way so that we all move in harmony. And we are able to stand in the gap and break forth and overcome the enemy's strongholds. And none of this will happen without this earnest exhortation in whatever effort is required by the Father to accomplish his task. We need to exhort one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to speak life words that we all move together, that we all are functioning in humility. We are submitting our strengths. We are patient and able to stay focused in what God is wanting to do, no matter how long it takes. This all has to be in place so that there can be this true investment, this full investment of the body of Christ. Paul goes on to speak with Timothy in the second book, 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This word study is our word, spodazo. And this admonition implies that we are in a position where we have to know what we are teaching. We just can't take an outline and present it. We have to take an outline that is something we have been living. It's something a part of us. We can only teach what we know. And what we know has to be from what we have done. If we're not living this, then we have become a house that has been garnished and left vacant. And what comes out then will be from the invasion of the enemy, seven times worse than what we used to be. I think really when you think about it being worse is that the fact that there has been an establishment of us as someplace that is trustworthy, and then what comes from that is not. So that makes it really worse. So it is really investing our hearts daily in the scriptures, in what God's word is giving to us, and making the application and putting that into what we do on a daily basis. The writer of Hebrews uses this word in the 4th chapter, verse 11 through 12. He said, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This, let us labor. This is our word, spodazo. And we know that the rest does not involve the absence of work. It's not involving just to go and finally rest after a hard day. It's a point of belief where we have gathered up all that we are and are prepared to move forward. In other words, we have mastered, we have gained understanding, we have pulled together all the parts and the pieces that have formed our relationship with the Father, and we stand fully clothed, fully together, fully armed to move forward in the direction that He gives us. So this labor to enter the rest has to do with that making a mastery of what we have gained, of understanding how it works, when it works, and how we are to use it according to the purpose of God. We have to be full and hungry at the same time. It's great how these things come back and are seen in the new thing that God has given us. We are to be fully invested in what God has prepared for us, because the Word of God is lively and effectual. When we speak the Word, when we share the Word, it is going to do things. We have to understand that. It requires using our intellect. It requires using our relationship with the Father. It requires our mastery of understanding what God is doing and how He wants to do it, so that when we divide the Word, when we share the Word, it is according to that purpose. And it's that that brings the harmony. It's that that brings the unity. And it's that that overcomes the enemy and keeps us ahead of his plans and his ways. So it's about maintaining our intensity to know the Word, so that we use it plainly and confidently, and so that our words will be irrefutable. It's interesting, as I was reading through the temptations of Jesus, that the enemy, once he showed Jesus his alternative, there was no response from him after the declaration of Jesus about Scripture. Okay, let me show you this over here. He had no rebuttal. He had nothing to say to counter it, because Jesus was using Scripture. And being the Son of God, he had all kinds of things he could have said. He had all kinds of things he knew. He knew Satan before his fall. He was there at the beginning. He was there with the Father. And so he had a mastery of what the Scriptures were about. And so when the enemy brought in this spot, when the enemy brought in this diversion, there was the Scripture and the application of that Scripture in a masterful way that took away his argument. It took away the enemy's argument. And when we break through tonight, we're going to be breaking through. It is from this momentum of our relationship with the Father that there is going to be breakthrough. That when we come with a mastery of and an intensity of our investment to this time of breakthrough. And it is this that overcomes the enemy. It is this that brings confusion to the enemy, because he has no grid. He has nothing to identifies what's going on next, because we're moving forward not on what the past has been. We're moving forward in the fresh new thing. We want this kind of ministry, but it's something we have to stir up within ourselves. It has to come from our humility, from our willingness to submit our strengths, from our partnership with the hand of God, no matter how long it takes, and for being a part of the body in agape, to have that intense desire, that passion to be functioning together in unity. We are to be intense in our mastering and accomplishing the assignments that are sent from the Father's right hand. And only then can our endeavoring or our budezo momentum gain mastery, gain everything that is needed to overcome the strategy of the enemy. We come before the Father with no spot or diversion. God has called us to be, and He's called us to teach. And we say, yes, we will be that for you, Father. Amen. We thank you, Father, for what you provided for each of us. We thank you for the intensity that you have placed within us to go after the mastery of the things that you provided. We want that, Father. We want to do everything that you have called us to be and to do. We want to know your timing. And so we wait on you, Father. We declare that the enemy has nothing for us, and that we will look only to you for what is ahead. And we go with all of our heart, with anticipation, with praise for what you have planned for each of us, and for what you have planned for this body, the Ecclesia. Thank you, Father. We speak all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.